you guys, me again, time for another book review. So let's just get right into it. Now this is another book that I picked up, just like Mrs. God by Peter Straub, which I reviewed last week. This is a book that I picked up at my last trip to the used bookstore down in downtown Sanford, where I got like a whole bunch of books that I'm planning on reviewing soon. Now this book right here, I believe Leisure Books used to do all of these paperbacks. This is by Richard Layman, and it's called Come Out Tonight. Now this book originally came out back in 1999. This is actually not the first Richard Layman book that I've read. I believe I've read, this may be the third or fourth one. I think I read To Wake the Dead, and I think I read maybe Endless Night and maybe one other one. Because I feel like, in case you don't know, Richard Layman, who actually passed away many years ago back in 2001, but there was kind of a time period where him and other authors like Edward Lee and Jack Ketchum were kind of, they were kind of referred to as splatterpunk back then. I don't know if that term is still in use, but that was kind of what they were all usually mentioned like in the same genre. Just their stories were very, very graphically violent, very graphically gory, usually very graphically sexual as well. And there was a time period where I was kind of like reading a lot of their stuff. As I said, I think it was Leisure Books, and they did like all of these type of paperbacks. They all look very, very similar to this, same size, same, you know, font, same kind of like, you know, cover layout. So I had read some Richard Layman then. Now I will say, I don't think Richard Layman is quite as good a writer as Jack Ketchum or Edward Lee, but if you like those guys' stuff, you will probably like Richard Layman's stuff as well. Now, as I said, I'm not a huge expert on his stuff. He's written, well, he did write, you know, at least 30 novels and like a shit ton of short stories. And I've only probably read a handful of those. So I'm just kind of going by this one and the couple other ones that I read. Now, as I said, if you are not into really, really graphic violence, really, really graphic gore, a lot of rape, a lot of like terrible shit happens, a really, really lot of sex, very graphically, you know, almost bordering on pornographic. If you're not into that kind of stuff, then you will not, then I would not recommend reading Richard Layman or Edward Lee or even Jack Ketchum for that matter, because a lot of the stuff in there is just like really, really, really over the top. And if it's something that bothers you, you know, this is not a subtle genre, and this in particular is not a subtle book by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm just going to tell you that right up front. If you don't like that kind of thing, you are not going to like this book at all. As I'm usually saying, I find it difficult to talk about books without not spoiling things outright, but without like talking about what happens in the plot. So again, if you would like to read this book, even though this came out back in 1999, and if you haven't read it, and if you want to read it, and you don't want to know shit that happens in it, then probably turn this off, go read it, come back and watch this after you've read it, because I'm not going to spoil anything, but I do have to like talk about some aspects of the plot, and that may seem spoilery to some of you. So basically, the setup of this book, the main character is this young woman I think she's about 25 years old, and her name is Sherry Gates. Now she is a teacher or a substitute teacher or something like that in Los Angeles. And she has been going out with this dude, like her new boyfriend, whose name is Dwayne. And they've been going out for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or something like that. And they've finally decided that it's time to do the sex. When we open in the book, they are at Dwayne's apartment, and they're starting to get like hot and heavy. It's like, you know, there's some like background information. It's set in LA. It's very, very hot. Like it's in the middle of summer. There are wildfires kind of encroaching and all that kind of stuff, you know, sirens going. So it's very like Summer of Sam kind of, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, it's really hot. There's all this noise. It's, you know, so it's very like evocative in that way. So, at some point during the festivities, Dwayne has one single condom. However, at some point it pulls a kinnicky, and because he's had it for such a long time, it basically like cracks in half or breaks or something like that. So he's like, well, I have to go down to the corner store. There's a corner store only a couple blocks away. They kind of have a back and forth. She's like, oh, well, you know, maybe we should do it anyway. Or he's like, no, maybe we shouldn't do it. They have like an argument about that. But finally he kind of goes, I think he actually like drives his van to the convenience store to buy condoms and leaves Sherry there waiting for him. Now, before he even leaves, she starts having like almost like weird, I don't want to say like a weird premonition type of thing, like something bad's going to happen. But then she's just like, oh, you know, that's stupid. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's going to be fine. But then she's like sitting there in this apartment, kind of naked, hanging out, waiting for her boyfriend to come back with the condoms so they can, you know, continue whatever it was they were doing. And she's like, wow, it sure has taken a really long time just to go and buy condoms 2 blocks away. So finally she waits in the apartment for like an hour and a half, something like that. And then I'll get into this a little bit later, but instead of doing like maybe the smart thing, like maybe calling the cops and being like, hey, my boyfriend was supposed to go to the store and like he's not back yet, so maybe we need to investigate, she decides she's gonna go out and walk to the store herself and see what's what. Now, it's not like the middle of the night, but I think he says it's like maybe like 10 or 11 p.m. And this is like L.A. and it's not a great neighborhood. So I'm saying, well, that was the first of one of many unwise decisions that this woman makes. I'm going to go out by myself at night to this like sketchy convenience store to find out what happened to my boyfriend. So she does that and she gets to the convenience store. And Dwayne's not in there, but she goes in and the guy was like, yeah, that dude was in here. Like he bought condoms and like soda or something like that. And then he left. But she notices that his van is still parked there, like behind the store. So she's like, huh, that's really weird. Like, where the fuck did he go? And then it so happens that this kid shows up. I guess he's like a high school student. So I guess he's like 17 years old. His name is Toby Bones. And he shows up and he recognizes her because he's like, oh, I go to Foster High School, I think is the name of the school they went to, and you subbed for one of our classes once. And she's like, oh, yeah, I remember you, because it's an unusual name. And she remembered seeing his name in the roll call thing. So then he starts telling her a tale about, oh, I saw your boyfriend. Like, I saw him, like, walk over that way, like, with some other guy. And, like, he starts making up what is very obviously not a true story, like where her, like, oh, he went off down the street, like with another guy, they looked gay, like all this other kind of stuff. And the thing about her is that she kind of buys it at first. And then like later he's like, oh, well, I lied about that. But actually what happened was that your boyfriend like met this like hot looking chick that he called Grace, like in front of the store. And then they went into his van behind the store to bang. And she buys that too. And I'm just like, you don't know this kid? Like, you know what I mean? Like, apparently he really was like in one of her classes that she subbed for at the high school, but she doesn't like know him. So the fact that he comes up and he's acting really nice and he's like, oh, well, if you want, like, you know, I'm pretty sure I saw him walk off that way. You know, get in the car, I'll help you find him. Like, we'll drive around and stuff. And so perhaps stupidly, not perhaps stupidly, definitely stupidly, she gets in the car with this kid and they drive around looking for him. And to no one's surprise, who is reading this book, things go very, very drastically awry. Now, as I said, that's just the setup. That's maybe like the first 50 pages or something. And from there, it spirals down into like this poor fucking woman is, and like I said, if you don't want to know anything about the plot or you don't want to know anything like that, then, you know, stop listening now, go read the book and then come back, because you know, I'm going to say what happens in the plot. And if you don't want that spoiled for you, then everybody here good with it? Okay, cool. So after being horrifically raped and abused at the hands of this terrible, terrible teenage boy, who is, I mean, easily like a sociopath. He's just kind of like a psychopath. And he ends up like killing multiple people. He kills her boyfriend and cuts his head off. It's like he does all this other stuff. Now, he at some point, maybe like a little bit before like the halfway point of the book, he basically, you know, rapes her. He thinks that he kills her and he dumps her like off the side of a like an overpass, like over Mulholland Drive or something like that. So he dumps her down like a, you know, dumps her off the side of the highway. Now, from this point, she is found by two teenage boys, Jeff and Pete. And they initially think she's dead. And the fucked up thing about these two, this is one thing that I kind of want to mention right here. No character in this book is likable. No character behaves, except for maybe one, no character in this behaves like a normal human would behave. It's just kind of like, okay, I can see how Toby, you know, the psychopath kid, I can see behaving like that because he's a psychopath. But one thing when I kind of started to get into the thing where, okay, I'm not really buying this anymore, was when Sherry gets found by Jeff and Pete, these two teenage boys. And immediately, even though they see her, she's like naked, she's all beat up and bleeding, and she's like laying at the bottom of this, and they figure it's like, oh, somebody dumped her out of a car, like off the side of this, you know, overpass. And so she's laying there and they think she's dead. And the first thing that they think of doing is like, let's turn her over and like look at her tits, or let's like stick her fingers up her vag, or like that kind of shit. And I'm just kind of like, I know teenage boys in general are kind of shitty, but I kind of doubt that just two random ones would be this shitty. And the thing about it is that these two kids aren't really supposed to be bad guys, because they do help her eventually. Because, you know, spoiler alert, she's not actually dead. She's just like really beat up. And so they do actually end up helping her, but they're also, they're really not, I don't know. It's like they're good. It's almost kind of like one thing that I got from this book was that, you know, these kids were supposed to be like good guys, but they were also not really that great, because you knew, you didn't know necessarily what was going on in Jeff's head, but you knew what was going on in Pete's head, because he was kind of like the nicer one of the two. And he was like, you got like his internal monologue a lot of times. And he was like, you know, doubting, maybe we shouldn't like touch this woman's tits. Maybe we shouldn't do this, that, and the other. But then they would kind of get talked into doing it anyway, even though he felt kind of bad, but he was still doing it. So I was just kind of like, wow, these two kids are kind of sucky, even though they're kind of portrayed as like sort of heroes. And another thing too, is that when she wakes up and they, you know, there's like a big long extended scene where, you know, they take her, cause she doesn't have any clothes, obviously. And so they take her into Pete's house. His parents are gone for the weekend. And, you know, he's like trying to find her something to wear. And he's like, I'm just going to get her a bikini and say that that's all that I have, so they can like look at her. And she's like all beat up and she's been like raped and shit like that. So it's like, it's really kind of gross. But the thing about it though, because like I said, I've read some other of Richard Lehman's books. I've read some other like Edward Lee, that kind of stuff. That's just kind of goes with the genre. So it didn't bother me as much as it maybe would bother somebody that didn't read a lot of stuff in that genre. You know what I mean? It's gross, but it's like kind of supposed to be gross, and it's kind of supposed to be provocative. I'm not, it's like, I sound like I'm shitting on this book a lot, but I'm really not. I actually did really enjoy it. But if you're going to read this book, it's really entertaining. It's really compelling. You want to see what's going to happen next. You know, it really kind of keeps the momentum going. And if you're into like extreme gore or that kind of, or violence and stuff like that, then you'll probably dig it. It's like a roller coaster ride kind of. So it's well done in that way. But I will say that you need to suspend your disbelief big time, because a lot of the shit, and some of his other books, I don't know, I feel like some of his other books, while extreme, were not this implausible. I guess because the thing is, there's no supernatural nothing. It's like usually these types of books, I mean, Edward Lee does a lot of supernatural types, like in demonic type stuff. But I feel like Jack Ketchum and Richard Lehman, they are usually more interested in human monsters, in like people that just do these horribly extreme things, and like exploring that. So there's no supernatural aspect, but I do feel like, as shitty as the people in this are, that's kind of believable. Like, you know, the villains, that's believable. But I do feel like the people that are supposed to be good people, I think they have a lot of like unbelievably shitty traits that maybe, I don't know. So I felt like a lot of the characters that even that you were supposed to like and root for were not real root worthy. You know what I'm saying? We're just kind of like also sort of mildly shitty too. So there was that issue. Also, I want to say that, and I saw this when I looked at some of the other Goodreads reviews, because after I finished it, I was curious, because I liked it in general, and I found it entertaining. It's a very quick read. It's a little long, I feel like, because like, look, it's like 400 something pages, and I think it really didn't need to be that long, because I feel like there were a lot of scenes where, you know, like I was saying before, with the scene where Pete and Jeff like find Sherry, and he's like having this agonizing like argument with himself over, should I take her normal clothes? It's like, I shouldn't do that because then I won't get to see her naked ever again. Maybe I should just get a bikini and say that that's all I have. Will she be mad at me? So it's just like, so there's a lot of scenes like that where people's like internal monologues are just kind of like going back and forth. And I feel like a lot of that could have been edited out because it's not really all that necessary to the story. And it's just making you read the thing like of the character being like, holy shit, kid, you are... You kind of suck. You know what I mean? So I feel like that could have been maybe cut out a little bit more and like shortened the book up a little bit because it is quite long, even though it didn't feel like a long book. It didn't feel like a slog. Although some of the scenes did kind of go on a little bit too long with people's internal monologues or with them going back and forth, like having an argument of like what they were going to do. And it seemed like they were talking in circles and they, you know, were kind of repeating the same things over and over. I'm just like, just do something already. Do you know what I mean? So there was a little bit of that. Now, when I read the Goodreads reviews, I feel like this was a book that was either people loved it 5 stars. Cause they're like, oh, this was so fucked up. And you know, it was just this crazy ride and everything, which like I said, it is. But then the other contingent that were like 1 or 2 star reviews, and a lot of those people, it wasn't just a case of people coming in and going, oh, this was disgusting, and people that didn't know anything about his work, because a lot of the people that gave like really, really low reviews were also like fans of his. And it's like, you know, I'd read like a lot of his other books, and this one seems, one, like more unbelievable than some of his other ones, which I'll get into in a minute. But also some of it seemed like it was written by, like it was a weird porn fantasy of like maybe a 14-year-old boy. And it does have a little bit of that, especially when you get to about the halfway point where Sherry gets found by the 2 teenagers. There's a little bit of it in the beginning where she's dealing with Toby and like all the shit that he's doing and like the fucking crazy murder spree that he's going on. And I get that most of the protagonists in this, or, you know, most of the characters in this are teenage boys. So I guess you are, so you're seeing things a lot of times through their eyes or through their, even though, you know, probably the first half of the book is from Sherry's point of view, which is another thing I want to say too, is that Sherry, the protagonist, even though she's the victim, she makes a lot of really dumb decisions. Like I said, you know, at the very beginning, her decision to just go out like at night in this shitty neighborhood in LA to this convenience store to find out what happened to her boyfriend, probably not the smartest move. And getting in a car with a kid that you don't really know, like to drive around looking for the boyfriend, even after he has told you like a couple of stupid stories about where said boyfriend went. So it just seemed like something that no woman in her right mind would do. So she made like a lot of really dumb decisions. Also, I think that some of the stuff that was written from her point of view suffered a little bit from what happens sometimes when a dude writes from a female perspective. Like it's not to a stage where, because I think there's a website where somebody like has compiled like all the worst examples of like a dude writing from a female perspective. It's like, where it's like not this bad, but it's like she walked boobily down the street. So you know what I mean? So I feel like a lot of dudes feel like if they're trying to write from a female point of view, they think that we're thinking about how our tits feel against like the inside of our shirt, like at all times. So it has a little bit of that. It's not bad. It's not like that distracting. I've read a lot worse, but it does have a little bit of that. Whereas like, you know, a chick is like walking past a mirror going, look how perky my boobs are. And like, look how hot I am. And I'm like, most women don't do that or don't think like that. And it just comes across as like kind of funny or kind of like an adolescent male fantasy a little bit. So I think this book had a little veneer of that. And I don't know how much of his other work has that aspect to it, because one of the main criticisms I saw, you know, on Goodreads of people that had only given this 1 or 2 stars that were fans of his other work were that it seemed very adolescent. It seemed like a teenage boy had written it. You know, like a lot of the stuff that went into like was kind of at that level, which I guess I would kind of agree with to an extent. Like I said, I've read some of his other books, but I don't remember them being that bad or that, you know, adolescent. But as I said, since most of the characters in this are adolescent boys, maybe that's kind of forgivable. Also, I kind of thought too there was like a little bit of a coda, like a little bit of a thing at the end, you know, where it was all wrapped up and all the gang were back together, like talking about whatever. And I thought maybe that he put that in there to almost make it seem like, because Pete, one of the teenage boys that found Sherry, was a writer and he like looked up to Hemingway. He wanted to be like the next Hemingway. And which was one of the things that made him like go along with all the shit that him and his friend were doing, like once they found this, you know, naked, vulnerable woman like behind his house. So it almost seemed like he was trying to make it like everything had been like this was all Pete's story, or we were all seeing it from his perspective, which I guess could, you know, like I said, even though the first part of the book is from Sherry's point of view, if she told him about what happened, like he could have been writing it like from what she told him. So I don't know if that's exactly what Layman intended, but I thought maybe that was maybe what that's what he was going for, was like, oh, well, this is all just actually a book that Pete wrote about what happened. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause what happened to him and then what happened to Sherry because she told him about it like before they met or whatever. So I kind of feel like maybe he was trying to do that, but I'm not entirely sure if that's what that was. Maybe that was just kind of like a little coda, a little wrap up. Like I said, all the people were together and, you know, we're just gonna be a Scooby gang now and go like wipe out all the shitty people. I don't know. It sounds like it's like I said, it sounds like I'm shitting on the book. I'm really not. I did enjoy it. You know, and like I said, the graphic sex, the graphic violence and stuff, that doesn't bother me because I know it's Richard Layman. It's, you know, if you know anything about that type of horror fiction or that genre, then you know that that's just what he writes. So that kind of shit didn't bother me, but it did come across as a little adolescent at times. All of the characters just did really dumb shit. It's like nobody in this whole entire book, the whole entire time, called the police. I don't think anybody called the police one single time in this book, even though like outrageous shit was happening. Like seriously, Toby would he they were like an apartment, he cut a dude's head off. It's like some woman came and would be like, hey, what's all that noise or something like that, and she he just like jumped on her like in full view of everybody and just started like stabbing her. And it's like, I don't know if he was trying to make a comment about, oh, it's LA, we have so much crime, it's like everyone's just kind of blah about it or nobody wants to get involved. So, you know, maybe. But the fact that Sherry, once bad shit started happening, would not call the police, and it just seemed like some of the shit that she came up with for why they shouldn't call the police was just kind of lame. It's like, so, you know, essentially this is a rape revenge story. You know, the shitty stuff that happened to her, and then she decides, you know, once she kind of gets her shit together and gets like her wounds tended to and stuff, she wants to go take care of Toby herself because she's like, well, you know, it's kind of a thing where I don't trust the justice system type of thing. You know, I'm gonna go get him myself. And then the two teenage boys, because they think she's hot, they want to help her. They want to, you know, go get him. Like, you know, they white knight her essentially. They're just basically like, well, you stay here. We'll go take care of it, even though they're these two scrawny little teenage boys and they think they're badasses and like superheroes and stuff. So it's like nobody, they don't even want to call her an ambulance when they find her, even though at first she's all like fucked up and beat up and like they think she's dead. They don't even want to call an ambulance because then, you know, the naked lady will get taken away and they'll never see her again. So they keep coming up with all these excuses, like not to call the ambulance. And then even after she wakes up, it's almost kind of like she's like, yeah, nah, that's fine. Don't call the police. Don't call an ambulance. Don't, you know what I mean? And it's like they don't even want to give her the phone, like to call her parents or anything, like to tell them where she is. So it's almost kind of like, honestly, how I thought it was going to go. It doesn't quite go this way, but I thought it was going to go that she had escaped from this one psychopath, Toby Bones. Like she got away from him, and then she gets found by these two fucking teenage boys, and then they decide they're going to keep her captive, is because they do kind of, I don't know if they say that outright, but they do kind of like, wouldn't it be cool if we could like persuade her to stay here with us, and like all of a sudden, like this is ridiculous. I don't know, it's ridiculous. But that said, it kind of leans into the ridiculous. So if you like this type of thing, if you like these kind of just over the top, gory, like really, really graphic sex. This book is very, very rapey. So, keep that in mind if that's like something that really bothers you. There's a lot of rape in this. So, just FYI, if you don't like that, then you probably will not enjoy this book at all because everybody, pretty much everybody gets raped multiple times in this, and like, people force people to rape other people. It's terrible. So it's all that kind of stuff. So it's very, very over the top, very, very graphic. And as I said, a lot of the characters make really, really dumb decisions that most people in real life would not make. Some of the shit they think, some of the shit they say is not something that most people would think or say. But that said, if you can kind of suspend your disbelief, turn your brain off for a little while, and you just want something that's just like a fun ride of just like these people going around LA just like raping and cutting people up and not getting caught, or like no one seeing them, or like nobody calling the cops or anything on anybody, and they're just kind of going around, wreaking havoc everywhere, then by all means, it's still a very enjoyable read, even though, like I said, it's a touch long. Some of the scenes kind of went on a little bit too long, especially the ones that were like internal monologue or that were kind of just characters like discussing like their plan or what they were going to do. I think some of that was unnecessary. Another thing too was that it seemed like it was a lot of build up, and then the end of it was almost kind of like they didn't like he almost kind of like shied away from it, because it's kind of like this build up where Sherry wants to go like get revenge on Toby for all the shit that he did to her. And then when it gets to the end, it's just kind of like, oh, it just kind of almost happens like off screen. So I thought that was a little weird. But you know what I mean? It is what it is. It's not his best book of the, three or four of his that I've read, even though it's been a while since I've read them. Like I said, I don't think he's as good a writer as, Jack Ketchum, obviously, or Edward Lee. But if you like those authors, if you like things along that line and are willing to just sit back and be like, yeah, whatever. It's like, you know what I mean? Because shit like this, it would not happen like this in real life. But you could say that about a lot of thriller movies and stuff like that. You're just always going to have some kind of aspect of shit, people doing dumb shit, like to kind of serve the plot. So I think there's a lot of that going on in this book. But if that sounds like it's not going to bother you or anything like that, then by all means, pick it up. It's, like I said, I just kind of bought it randomly because I saw it at a used bookstore and I had read some other stuff of his. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a, kind of an entertaining book to read. And it was very entertaining. So if that sounds like something that you would enjoy, then check it out. It's called Come Out Tonight by the late Richard Layman. Like I said, came out in 1999, so not really any cell phones. A couple people had car phones and shit like that, but no modern technology or anything. Nobody has GPS and nobody knows where anything is. It's just kind of like funny to read about now. Like, so where is that address? How are we gonna find out? You know what I mean? Whereas like now you'd be like bink and you could find it anywhere. So it's just like kind of funny to read stuff that happened back then. But yeah, so I guess that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye.